Please turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11, the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 11, and verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. These words, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And our subject this morning is resting in Christ, resting in Christ. Where we come this morning to these words before us, tremendous words, of course, of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So very precious words to many of us, familiar words to all of us, because, well, I'm sure you will have noticed, but these are the words that are displayed at the very front of the church near the fence. Many passers-by will see this verse on the board at the front. It is a great verse of invitation. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Words of invitation, "come unto me." And we considered this in our Wednesday Bible study, how the message of the church is come. That's the message of the church, come, not stay away, not keep your distance. Come, whoever you are, whatever you have done, come. You are invited to hear this message. You are invited to know what it is to be saved, to know spiritual life, to know the Lord's blessing. You are invited. Come. So that is why these words, this verse, is at the very front of the church, because we want the whole community to understand this, to know this, that this is an invitation. We are not a closed group or some exclusive set of people. Everybody is invited to come and to know the salvation of the Lord. And of course, it's the Lord Jesus Christ saying these words, "Come unto me." That's what he's saying. Come unto me, the Lord Jesus Christ. The message is not simply, let's just be religious, let's just do religious things and attend church and sing hymns. That's not the Christian message. It's come unto Christ. Do you know him? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have a personal, true, living relationship with the true and living God, with the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what it is. Come unto me. Do you know the Lord? Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Who is Christ really? What does he say about himself? How does he present himself? Well, he always presents himself as the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he did. Even though people were outraged when he did it, even though the Jews took up stones to stone him when he said it, he would always state this. He was the Son of God, making himself equal with God. And the only reason he would say that is because it was true. Well, just look at those words. In verse 27, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." The Lord Jesus Christ making himself equal with God. You know the doctrine of the Trinity. Do I need to just state it very quickly? One God, there's one God. We believe in one God in the Bible. But in the one Godhead, there are three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is God the Son. God the Son, equal with the Father. And that is made very clear for us in verse 27. And what is also made very clear is that you cannot know God if you don't know Christ. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Do you know that? Many religions, of course, believe there is a God. There's a God of some description, a higher power. But you cannot know who that God is unless you know the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot know that God. You cannot know who he is. You cannot know what he is like, what his character is like. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's all very well believing in God, that there is a God somewhere, but you can't possibly know him or reach him without Christ. That's what these words are saying. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Christ is the way to God, the way, the truth, and the life, he goes on to say in the Gospel according to John. But here we're going to focus on Christ being our rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is how the Lord presents himself here. He is rest. Well, what kind of rest is meant here? What do you think of when you think of rest? Maybe you think of physical rest. Maybe you think of resting the body, lying down, having a nap, being on a beach somewhere, sleeping, resting in that sense. Well, there's nothing wrong with that kind of rest. Everybody needs physical rest from time to time, but that's not the kind of rest that the Lord Jesus Christ is presenting to us. It's more meaningful than just physical rest. The rest that is being presented here is a rest that can only be given by the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't give yourself this rest. The world cannot give you this rest. Come unto me, says the Lord, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is something only Christ can give us, this rest that is spoken of here. And everybody most certainly needs this rest above all. This is rest for your souls. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. That's the difference. It's rest for your souls. You know, you can rest yourself physically. You can have all the physical rest that you want, but if there is something troubled within, you will never truly be rested. I know some of you have said this to me. I have plenty of physical rest, but I never feel rested. Why not? Because inwardly there is a trouble. There is a turmoil. But Christ gives us rest for our souls. For our souls. That's the rest that he gives us. And we're going to consider that this morning in the time before us. But come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Let's try and look at these words. All ye that labor. Those are the kinds of people who are being called to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who work. That's what the word means. Labor, toil, apply strenuous effort. Now, everybody in this world works. Christians work, unbelievers work, atheists work. Sometimes unbelievers work harder than Christians. They put us to shame at times. But the difference is that the unbeliever, somebody without God, is working with no purpose. Their labor is in vain. Their labor is futile. There are so many people in the world today, they're working so hard, day and night, night and day, and well, they don't seem to get any fruit from it. They don't get any richer, many of you. Work so hard, you don't get any richer at all. Or if you do get richer, you don't get any happier. You may have some more money in the bank, but you don't feel any happier. Life is still difficult. The labor of this world, that this world puts upon us, there's no real fruit. There's no real profit. And our labor in this world is in vain because, of course, well, this is a very obvious point. At the end of our lives, well, we leave this world, we die. And all the things that we worked so hard for, Well, we have to leave them, of course. You can't take them with you when you die. Your labor in this world without God is in vain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. The labor of this world, it is in vain. You leave all your riches behind, and ultimately all of your labor, all of your hard work, it's fruitless. It's all in vain. But a Christian's labor is never in vain. A Christian's work is never fruitless. It's always joyous. The more you serve the Lord, the more joy you get. The more you serve the world or live without God in this world, the less joy you get. Yes, it may be fun when you're young, I understand that, but the older you get, the less joy you will have in all the things, all the pleasures, because they're not made to last. They're fleeting pleasures. They're temporary pleasures. They will not fulfill you, but the longer you walk with the Lord, the greater the joy, the more you know Him and serve Him, you will be filled increasingly. And then at the end of a Christian's life, well, there is a great reward. An unbeliever, as I've just said, an unbeliever at the end of his life loses everything. He can't take anything with him. But a Christian at the end of his life, he gains everything. He gains riches that he never could have had in this world, no matter how hard he would have worked. He enters into eternal glory, into heaven. In fact, well, heaven has been described as an everlasting rest. A great Puritan, Richard Baxter, perhaps one of the greatest Puritan works, he wrote a book called The Saint's Everlasting Rest. Everlasting rest, that's all about heaven. We get a glorious rest at the end of our lives. The unbeliever has nothing, takes away nothing. The one who trusts in Christ receives all things, rest forevermore. These words are so glorious, and this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is inviting us to. Come unto me, all ye that labor. And then we have those words, heavy laden. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Well, really, that means those who are burdened. Burdened. Are you burdened this day? So many people in this day and age, they're burdened. So many people anxious. Again, they can get physical rest, but so many people are so anxious, constantly worrying, fearful over the state of the world, fearful over the future. How are they going to pay their bills? How are they going to look after their families? How are they going to do all these things? Even youngsters, exams. How am I going to get the grades to go to university? So many people burdened. And this world, well, I don't know if you've noticed, I'm sure you have, this world does nothing to lift our burden. It does nothing to lift our fears from us. In fact, if you watch the news, all that the news does, it just adds to our burden. There are always more things to fear, more things to worry about. The newspapers, the media, it never lifts your burden. It never takes it off you. It just adds something. You've got to be worried about this, and now you've got to be worried about that. It adds to your burden. But Christ, look at the difference. Christ wants to take away that burden. He wants to give us rest. He says to us, fear not. I say it so often, you know what's coming. One of the most repeated statements in the scriptures, fear not. Do not be afraid. The opposite to this world. This world is fear this, fear that. The scripture is fear not. Take your rest. Be comforted. Rest from your fears. Have faith in me. And that is the Christian life. When Christ is with you, you know that you can rest. You can rest in your life. He will help you. He will answer your prayers. He will guide you in all the great decisions of life. There are many decisions we have to take, and we're so anxious. Am I doing the right thing? Am I going the right way? So many people so fearful. With Christ, you don't have to worry. You pray. You seek the Lord's guidance. You obey the word of God. You know that you're doing the right thing. You're going the right way. That's rest. This is what the word of God is. It's the right way. If you obey the right way, well, then you can rest. You know that you are pleasing God. You know that you will receive his blessing. You're not going the wrong way. And even if difficult things come, and difficult things do come to Christians, I'm not denying that, but even when difficult things come, Christ is our strength to overcome all our griefs, all our disappointments, all those things that weigh us down. This is what these words mean. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Why would you not want this rest, dear friends? Perhaps I'm speaking to somebody and you feel exactly this way. These things that I have outlined this morning, you feel this way. Well, will you not hear these words and take them in and believe in them? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But let me just think about these things more spiritually, because a lot of people are burdened over their relationship with God. They are heavy laden. They are worried concerning their relationship with God. They're standing with God. Again, that could be some of us here. You know that God is real. You know that God is true. That's why you're here. But are you actually right with God? Am I right with God? It's a concern for you. It's a worry. Am I right with God? Does God accept me? Will God receive me? Will God bless me? These are the worries of so many people. You're not sure whether you're right with God. And so many people are like that. I could mention an example from history. A great reformer, Martin Luther, he had this great fear. This great fear that he was not right with God. He had a near-death experience, and it made him think about God. And he thought to himself, if I were to die, would I be right with God? And he was so worried about it. You know what he did? He became a monk. Let me go and become a monk and do lots of religious things, and I'm going to live a life of perfect obedience to God. Then he'll like me. That's what people think. So many people think, how can I be made right with God? Let me just be a good boy. Let me just be a good girl. Let me just obey the Ten Commandments. Then that should do it. But dear friends, that is a foolish way, and Martin Luther was to know that. Because the more that Martin Luther tried to obey God, the more he failed. The more he tried to be honest and not lie, the more he realized he couldn't do it. He had to lie. He always lied sometimes about something. The more he tried not to exercise lust in his heart, the more he realized he couldn't do it. The more he tried not to be covetous, the more he realized he couldn't do it. It would be the same for you. If you were to try, you try and live a holy life, following the Ten Commandments perfectly, you will actually see you can't do it. Not that you can do it. You can't do it. That's what the law actually does. The law of God, the Ten Commandments, it actually reveals your sin. That's the purpose of the law. It reveals your sin to you. It shows you how far short you fall. And so that's what Martin Luther found. He found that he could not earn his way to God. I cannot get to heaven by being a good person because I'm not a good person. That's what he realized. And he realized through reading the scripture, the word of God, that he needs to be forgiven freely. He needs free forgiveness. He cannot earn his way to God. If he is to be with God, he needs free forgiveness. And that's the gospel message. That's what the Christian word of God is. It is so different. It is so unique. All the other religions, every other religion will have some aspect of works. You have to do this to be right with God. You have to do this or God will never accept you. Some kind of works, some kind of performance. But it's only the Christian word of God. It says you cannot get there by yourself, no matter what you do. You need to have salvation given to you freely. You cannot earn it. And this is the meaning of these words. So many people labor, work hard to try and be right with God. But Christ gives us rest. He gives us free salvation. Then you can rest, of course. You don't have to worry whether I'm right with God. You have been given salvation. You can rest assured in His grace. This is the difference with the Christian message. It's free forgiveness and salvation. It's a gospel of grace. But dear friends, let me just show you before time runs out, how do we lay hold upon this grace? We have to lay hold upon it. Look at verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Well, what does this mean? Take my yoke upon you. What's a yoke? It's not an egg yoke. A yoke is, it's essentially a harness that was used in olden times and probably still is in many places. A harness that was put upon oxen or other animals to pull a plow or to do some other service, to bear a load. And that was what the yoke was. Take my yoke upon you. But here in this verse, well, really the meaning is that we must submit to the Lord. Take my yoke. Well, we must be prepared to serve Him. Serve the Lord. It's speaking of repentance, really. We submit ourselves to the Lord's authority. We stop living for ourselves. We stop living for worldly ambition, worldly riches, worldly fame. Take my yoke upon you. Live for Christ. Obey Him. Do what He commands you. That's what it is. Take my yoke upon you. Somebody who takes Christ's yoke upon them, I will obey Him. I will repent. I'll turn away from living for myself. I will live for Him. That's what we do. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Well, we learn of Christ, and implied in those words is not just learning, but believing in Christ. We don't just learn the gospel. The gospel isn't just head knowledge, something that we know. We believe it. We believe in Christ. We learn the gospel by faith, what it means to us. We apply it to ourselves. Take my yoke upon you, repentance, and learn of me. Believe in me. Repentance and faith. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. The Lord Jesus Christ, He's meek, He's lowly, of course He is. We know this. The Lord Jesus Christ, He humbled Himself. He came down from heaven, from His glorious throne in heaven, to this lowly world of sin. He's meek, He's lowly. He came down for us. Why did He do that? Do you understand why He took upon Himself human flesh? Have you learnt of this? Well, He came to be our substitute, to take upon Himself the punishment that we deserve for our sins. We are sinners. We have all broken the law of God. We cannot keep it. We deserve to be punished by God. But Christ has come to take the punishment upon Himself, meek and lowly. He goes willingly to the cross without any violence, without any protest, meek and lowly, out of love for us. He suffers and dies. He sheds His blood so freely, so willingly for us, so that we may be forgiven. Do we know this? Do we understand this? Have we learned this? Have you learned how to apply it to yourself? When Christ died, it was for me. Have you understood that? The sins that I have committed in my life, they were placed upon Christ on the cross, and he took the punishment for me. He has borne all my sins away. Learn that, dear friends. Don't simply learn how to be religious. Learn of me. Learn of Christ and who he is and what he has done. And you shall find rest unto your souls. Of course, that's what rest for your souls is. Rest for your souls is knowing that you are right with God. All my sins are washed away. That's rest for your souls. You know that when you meet God, and you will meet God at the end of your life, you will not be condemned because Christ took the condemnation. You are safe. You are secure. That's rest. You can rest. You can rest assured that there'll be no condemnation for you at the very end. You can't have rest for your souls without Christ. You'll always be worrying. Death will be coming ever nearer. And what will happen to you? You can't have rest without Christ. This is the only way. Christ is the only way to God, the only one who has died for your sins. So these are the words. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Dear friends, will you not come? Anybody here still resisting? Resisting God? Maybe that's your labor. That's another way we could have applied it. There are many people who labor, who strive, who put so much effort into resisting God and denying God. Maybe you've put great effort into not listening to anything I've said. Great effort, great toil, great concentration, not to listen to a single word. And when you go out, when you leave this place, you're going to put great effort into justifying why you're not a Christian. It's because of this, it's because of that. So many people, they're laboring, they're fighting against God. Fighting against God. That's your labor. Is that you? Dear friends, that is so very sad. It's so hard to do that. The Lord Jesus Christ said to the Apostle Paul, it is hard. It's hard to kick against God. It's hard to kick against your conscience. It is hard. So, dear friends, if you're fighting against God, why? Why will you not just rest? Rest in Christ. Is that not easier? Is that not the most common sense option for you? To cease from fighting, warring against God, just simply rest in Christ. Lord, I submit. Lord, I repent. I turn myself to thee. Lord, bless and forgive me and help me to enter into that rest. Rest in the Lord. Rest from useless and futile fighting against God. You can't win against God. Christ will have the victory. Come to him now. Take his yoke upon you. Learn of him. And rest in him. May the Lord bless these glorious things to you. Let us sing together our final hymn this morning, hymn number 432.